Oh, we've got more privacy issues, and we're talking about ways you can use Google Glass, and then there's a hidden browser inside of Google Glass, and we've got a ton of stuff. We've got Luke Wallace here, and we've got This Week in Google Glass, episode number 3. Hey, everybody, Jeffrey Powers here. Welcome to This Week in Google Glass. Jeffrey Powers from Geekazine. You can find me over at geekazine.com. Think magazine, put in a geek, you got geekazine.com. My new email address for this show is Jeff at This Week in Google Glass. Jeff at This Week in Google Glass. And of course, I've got my cohort in crime that's over on the Hangout there, Luke Wallace.
Everybody.
And of course, why don't you tell everybody who you are?
So my name is Luke Wallace. I'm a glass explorer who got into the program. I'm down in Dallas, and I'll be joining Jeff every week. If you're looking to email me for this show, I've got another email address. It's Luke at thisweekingoogleglass.com.
And of course,
So
your Twitter handle is?
at Luke Luca.
There you go.
And
So,
I'm on Google Plus and all the normal places, and there's always links in the show notes for all that kind of contact information.
all right. And of course, we're doing a hybrid. He's on Google. He's on Hangouts. I'm doing a straight up record. So we've got the switch through our friends over at Wirecast. If you go over to j.mp/get Wirecast, you can get yourself a copy of Wirecast and do some cool stuff switching like that as well. All right, this week we've got a lot of great news here. Luke, you were scouring the whole web. You had more content than I was expecting. So let's just get started with some of the news here. All right, first of all, we're going to talk about Google Glass invitations. If you were looking for your invitations, if you did the If I Had Glass, it's now getting ready to ramp into that. What happened was all the 2,000 developers were contacted, and whether they picked up their Google Glass or not, we don't know. But it's now time to get the people from the contest, which is I don't know, is it an additional 8,000 there? Do you remember?
I don't remember if it's an additional 8,000. I've heard that number thrown out, so it might have been. It's between 6 and 8,000, I guess. But yeah, the original 2,000 have all gotten their invites, which is either come to one of their offices, Mountain View in New York, I believe, or have been the locations you can pick that up. Or I know that they will mail them to you as well. So if you live somewhere else in the country where that's not as convenient to make that trip, I know they'll happily send them to you, and one of our guys did that and was able to get them very quick. It was a really quick turnaround on it.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Oh
Well,
yeah.
that's good to hear because I was kind of wondering. Well, first of all, I'm part of the If I Have Glass or If I Had Glass thing. I've been waiting for my invite. And now that I know that it's coming very soon, I can make plans for it. But the one thing I didn't know is if I could go out to LA, if I could had to go out to San Francisco or New York, because I travel out there from time to time. And if I can coordinate it, that's fine. But if I can get it in the mail, then that's great too. Was it just the custom fittings that was the problem with going out there, or did they just want to do some control, quality control?
I don't know exactly what the reasoning was. I was able to pick mine up on the Google campus. Like I said, one of my friends who was also in the program, he got his shipped to him. Really all the on-site visit got for me was they showed me a little bit more about how to fit the glass to your face, adjust the little nose guards and but I guess the other big thing is you get a tour of the Google campus.
Oh, okay.
By one of the hosts there, and kind of get to see a little bit more than you would when you get it shipped to you, obviously.
Yeah,
Um,
yeah.
but I don't think that there's really any other difference in it. They still sign you up for the program, so you have all the API access and kind of access to the community. So there wasn't anything particular they tried to restrict you from. It was just, I think, a great way to also get in contact with people, a little face-to-face time of the people who are actually going to be using Glass.
And of course, getting in front of the developers, which means that if there is a developer that's not really working on Google code, they're only working on iOS code or something like that, or Microsoft code, then they might get interested and excited to move over and start programming for Google.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a great PR move for them to get people out there, you know, on that Google campus and show them some of what it's like out there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So we've got the article. We're going to link all the article notes over at thisweekinggoogleclass.com. I'm having a hard time saying that. Thisweekinggoogleglass.com. You can go over there. Of course, we have a Google page, This Week in Google Glass, and then, of course, my Google Plus page, Luke's Google Plus page. Just go ahead and message us, and we'll get you there as well. So, all right, let's move on from there. We're going over, that was over at the Next Web, the article we had. This one's over at The Verge, and the story is all about what you can do right now with Google Glass. And we kind of talked about that a little bit last week. We're going to expound a little bit more on that because a lot of people are talking about pictures. And I know you have a good story there, Luke, about a grandma that had a thing with Google Glass.
So last week I was out speaking at a little event, not on glass in particular, just talking about my day job. And it was a rural part of Texas, so I wasn't really expecting a lot of people to know what Google Glass was. I wasn't expecting the reaction to be positive if they did. I was expecting, you know, probably, you know, one of the stereotypical things of, you know, people out in the middle of nowhere, you know, like afraid of technology and all that kind of stuff. But that obviously isn't the case. I was really excited to run into a lot of people who not only knew what it was, but were very excited to see it in person. Like a lot of people, they haven't, you know, seen it in person yet. They've only seen it on the internet. And one of the funniest stories was, you know, this little old lady came up to me, who was there also speaking or running the event. And she basically said, "Oh yes, those are Google Glass. Those are so interesting." And I said, "Oh, you know, here, you want to try them?" And she said, "Oh, that'd be awesome." And she, you know, put them on. I kind of, you know, did my little demo where I walked through and I show her some pictures and a video and, you know, some of the Google Now cards and stuff. And she just thought that that was absolutely amazing. And she was just telling me about different ideas she had for maybe people, you know, more her age that have kind of limited mobility and, you know, something where they can just talk to it and give it commands of like, oh, you know, call my daughter, and that kind of thing, where they won't even have to know how to, you know, turn their phone on and find them in the contact list. They can basically just use these voice commands. And so when we were leaving the event, she caught me and said, "Oh, that's so exciting. And my kids and my grandkids are going to be so jealous because I'm the first one in the family to actually try Google Glass." And, you know, and I just thought that was really funny that there's this, you know, little old lady that, you know, is the last person you would probably think to be the tech enthusiast behind glass. But she was really excited and just was just going to be happy to gloat about her ability to get her hands on glass before anyone else, which goes for a lot of people. There's a lot of people that I've met that are kind of in that same boat, but that demographic was a little bit of a surprise to me.
Did you do any follow-up with this person? Does she have like a Facebook or a blog or something like that she goes on, or?
Not that I'm aware of. There were some other people there that were able to reach out to me, and we've connected a little bit through Google Plus, but no, not her, not her. So I don't know her name off the top of my head anymore, and we just met for a minute, but
Just connected, yeah.
still, it's amazing how something like this can really bring people together.
Well, that's cool, and that's the key here. We only have touched just a small percentage. I actually was thinking over this weekend, of course, this weekend being Memorial Day weekend, and the one thing that I thought about was the military aspect that Google Glass could get if Google was to get a contract for the Army or the Navy, Air Force or Marines. And then all of a sudden, they retrofit all the helmets with Google Glass, which they have something similar, but I don't think it's to the intelligence level as Google Glass is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen that with smartphones, moving into military uses. Now they're starting to, you know, kind of create their own versions of, you know, Android and, you know, really secure things down. But, you know, when you're talking about a device that has GPS and communication, built right into it, you know, a smartphone is a whole lot cheaper than what they used to have, with all that technology. And so I could see glass doing the same thing of just driving those price points down and making it where it's a technology where, they can afford to have battery packs. You know, those guys walk around with, huge, heavy packs. So, an extra, 15 ounces, for a battery or something that will last all day. And then if their commanders could literally, kind of jump into the eyes of any of their guys at any point and just be able to see what they see and so they can communicate back, it's like it is not real hard to imagine this technology actually existing in a few years.
You just made me realize that I didn't even think of that aspect. If a general wants to know where some of his troops are, he just has to call up something, and all of a sudden on the big screen they can see the group going. So
And say, here's what we're looking at right now. If you can help us out, or if you know what's going on, it's not that technology doesn't exist with, you've got your kind of GoPro cameras and you've got small cameras anyway. But I think this just kind of drives that price point down. It's not so much new technology, but just, more
Well,
value price
yeah,
versions of
but
it.
that's we're talking. Well, once they have the actual, because there's going to be a 4G version of Google Glass out there,
Oh, yeah.
and we don't have. And I suppose eventually there'll be a 4G version of GoPro out there as well, and any of these small cameras. So yeah, you could actually just be able to get a wireless plan, hook up to it, and go from there. So I could definitely see some great stuff for the military, for the elderly, and that, if my mom was all alone, and she had Google Glass on, all of a sudden I get an alert that says that something happened, I could turn it on and go from there. I know that's going to cause new privacy issues, but with all that aside, right now I can see the advantages to something like that. So all right, let's move on from here. We're gonna go over to Engadget.com. Google Glass is demonstrating. They apparently there was a hidden browser inside of Glass, and they demonstrated on the Chrome on the Google Glass over at Engadget.com. Now, my understanding, Luke, is you have to root the system to get to it.
I believe that's true. There's a lot of stuff that using root opens up. There's also this, I believe it actually had something to do with the labs. The people talk about this Glass Labs, and it's kind of these built-in features that are disabled but not, not removed. So they're in there, but they're not really publicly accessible.
Yeah, actually, and now I'm reading, I'm going through it again. It says, after modding the latest Glass firmware, the Android Police, which is where they got this from, confirmed that there is a that there's a browser inside the user experience. It just hasn't been done released yet.
Glass really runs Android 4.0.4, and it really can run any app that runs on that. The real problem is the interface, how you actually control these apps. They demonstrated at I/O how you can pair a Bluetooth keyboard and trackpad to your Glass and then start developing your app that way. Basically, turn your app into a Glass app slowly by first just putting the regular app on there, and you navigate through all the menus like you would with a keyboard, and type on it. And then over time, you can figure out how to turn those same actions into swipes and taps and basically make it usable by someone who doesn't have that kind of device paired with their Glass. But so that's probably what it is. It's probably just a remnant that they had on there to be like, yeah, people want a browser, and they put one on there, and they kind of paired it and figured out that it doesn't work real well for kind of that long form content consumption. Now, it may be something that they will figure out, or someone will figure out a way to do it, and I'm sure people will want that kind of thing on there.
Well, what about this? Instead of, because Chrome browsers, you have that pairing option to, I could put all my Chrome browser on computer A, and then load up all the tabs and all my preferences, and then go over to computer B, log in, and then all those preferences show up. Well, what would happen is if I went to the browser and I went to a special page that was specifically for a Google Glass app, and these are my and I change all my settings, fix all my settings for that, and then go to Glass and then log in with Glass, to bring all those settings in, so I don't have to tap twice for an A or do Morse code or something like that to get something into Google Glass.
Oh, definitely possible. They already have a Chrome to phone feature, which basically lets you surf to a page through the Chrome browser and then click a button, and that same page in its same state will just appear on your phone. So basically at this point, your Glass becomes a phone, and when you do that, it brings it up on, it makes it visible on your Glass.
Okay.
Again, it's a much smaller screen. How useful that really is, I think, is something people are going to have to figure out for themselves. It sounds like a great idea, but I think, in the long run, it probably won't be as useful as people think. But there will be the hardcore people that will basically want to have that be their main computing device when they're out. They'll want to have a little controller maybe in their pocket and, kind of be able to navigate around and click on things that way and just have the browser up as they go. And, that's definitely possible with what we've got now.
All right. Well, before we continue on, first of all, I'd like to thank Luke for being my partner here on this show. But of course, if you want to be part of this show, let us know. All you have to do is email us, Jeff@howtouseGoogleGlass.com, Luke@howtouseGoogleGlass.com. You can also subscribe over at howtouseGoogleGlass.com. You'll find the iTunes link. You'll find a place on YouTube that you can subscribe there. We've got all the places that you can get this show. If you have any questions, feel free to email us. We'll put it in next week's show. I even have the phone number of 608-205-4378 if you want to call. Or if you want to do a video question, you can do it through YouTube. You just have to put in the subject, and we'll do the subject line, how to use Google Glass, : question. And that might change as we go. But for now, when you title your video, you just get in front of a webcam, you ask your question, throw it up on YouTube with the title, how to use Google Glass, : question. Your question, that is, whatever that question would be. And then we'll try and answer it and go from there. So, all right, let's move on from there. We're going to go over to Gizmodo.com. They're talking about Google Glass and the golden age of creep shots. Now, I don't know if you remember the whole, black patent leather shoe thing, where if you shined up the black patent leather, that it would be reflective enough. But of course, you've also heard of the people that put little mirrors on the bottom of shoes. And later on, it was, the cell phones, and we had the people that were doing what was called the upskirting, where they would move the phone and take a picture. And now it's moving on with Google Glass and a lot of concerns with the privacy of taking pictures. We talked about it with the bathroom last week, and I even used my demonstration with my faux pair of Google Glasses, where I suggested that you do this and go from there. But this is an interesting article. Tell us a little bit more about what you got from this article, Luke.
So, I wouldn't say that this is, purely a scare tactic or something, but I think it's something that we haven't seen a lot of in practice. I think one of the big issues with using Google Glass as a tool for creep shots is that it's not real, subtle. You're gonna be able to tell when the person is wearing it, and it'll be, you'll be able to tell if they're looking down and staring at something, because you really do have to kind of aim it. It's not something where you can be, looking up and take a picture pointed down. And if they, kind of take their glass off and point it down at something, and then you hear this little chime go off, it's like it gets,
you notice it. Yeah.
I think it's something that people could be doing already today with their cell phone. And there it's even easier to look like you're, texting and playing on your phone, and really you're bringing up the camera and taking a picture.
Oh,
as long as you remember to turn the flash off, most people won't figure that out.
I've actually done not in a creep shot, but more of a, I was in a furniture store a few weeks ago that the going out of business is what they were saying. But every price that I saw was like something like 2 times the amount that it was before they were going out of business. So I took my phone and I kind of lifted it up like I was texting. Instead, I was taking pictures of those tags and saying, what the heck's going on here? This is not, this isn't going out of business prices. So, no, I totally understand. That's not the creepy version, but it could easily become the creepy version.
Yeah, yeah. So it's another tool. People that are really concerned about that kind of thing, I think will, be aware of it, just kind of like they're aware of it. I've been to enough, comic conventions or things where there's celebrities and they can be concerned about people taking pictures of them, that aren't, where they're not prepared. They don't like the paparazzi at a convention any more than, they do out in public. And so a lot of people just kind of get out their cell phone and try to pretend like they're not really taking pictures of the celebrities and, oh, my buddy's calling me. And then, really they're sneaking that picture. So with glass, it's like, yeah, maybe it's a little bit easier, but, the one thing people often overlook is, if you're taking a video, it's especially obvious because this little lens is transparent, and so you can tell when the person's doing something on there. Now, obviously, there'll be ways to disable that, and we've all heard about the wink activation for taking a picture, and so I think that there will be ways that people will get around that, but once it becomes kind of common knowledge, someone will come up to you wearing glass, and then you'll see them kind of wink at you, and if you don't think that's weird enough on its own, you might say, "Hey, did you just take a picture?" And then they'll have to lie like they would if they were holding a cell phone and said, "No, I'm not taking a picture." So I don't think it's a new problem. It's probably just a new method to the same problem. And so, it's something that will be that we'll figure out. I know Google said that they'll have their own terms of service guidelines. So official apps probably won't be able to be active while the display is off and those kind of things. So we'll see where it ends up. But I would say it's not something that everyone should just freak out about. And like I kind of alluded to earlier, right now when people see it, they don't immediately jump to that part of the discussion of, oh, well, what about privacy? I don't like you taking a picture of me. That's not where most people jump to when they see it. They jump to the, wow, that's amazing, factor of it.
Well, I can, we've already seen some issues where this could actually become a problem. The biggest instigator, I guess you could call it, is Mr. Robert Scoble, and I'm trying to pull out the picture right now, and let's see if I can pull this up. Back when last month he was, we were both in Vegas. That's when I got to try Google Glass for the first time. And then he was going to Amsterdam after that event. So he got on a plane. Oops, that's not what I wanted. Let's do that. Got on the plane and he instantly took this picture right here, which I'm going to load up. And you won't be able to see this, Luke. But basically, this is a picture of the airport that the airplane as he's taking off, taking a picture of the other airplane. Now, some of the people are saying, that's against FAA policy and stuff like that. You could actually get fined. You could get jail time for doing something like that because you're supposed to have all electronics turned off. But do you does pl do planes do airlines have create some sort of blocking program some of the programs with phones where they turn off the texting features if you're driving the car and go from there. Do you see that actually happening there, Luke?
It's a good question. I think initially it's going to have kind of the same reaction people had to phones and tablets and stuff. I think the airlines are starting to turn around on those kind of policies of just turn them all off, even though there's an airplane mode specifically created, for that use case of I'm on an airplane, I want to make sure all the radios are turned off because that's the real concern. I think we'll see the same kind of thing with glass of, initially it'll just be treated as an electronic device. People will want it to be off. But with cameras, kind of being that special case, or I've seen cameras a lot on airplanes, and most of the time it's not really a concern, unless it's more about those wireless radios.
How many of us have actually done? I'll tell you something. I had my iPhone out. I was landing here in Madison, and we were going over the Isthmus, and which is a beautiful sight if you've ever been to Madison, Wisconsin. And I wanted to try using the panorama video option. So I turned on the iPhone, I turned on the panorama, and then I just kind of set it right on the glass and let the plane do the work. And it's got a really interesting look. If you look in my photos on my Google Plus page, you'll actually see the pictures. and it just looks like very choppy. But technically, that was it was right in that cusp, and then they hit the bell and they said, turn off your electronic devices. But I wanted to get the rest of the picture, so I kept it up just a little bit longer, and then as quick as I could turn it off. So, but I have a feeling there's a lot of people that have stories like that. And then when Google Glass, it's just going to get even different. Even more difficult to try and police, and hopefully the FAA will start to rule the fact of not having to turn off devices for the electromagnetic field. So, all right, we're getting close to the end. We're running a little bit over, so we're going to do one more article, and then we're going to go on. We're going to let you on your way, and that is over at ZDNet.com. There is a group called MeCandy, MiKNDI. And they are getting ready, and it's really funny because last week I said I'm waiting for the first Google Glass porn app or porn to come out, porn video. And somebody said, "Oh, it's probably already been done." Well, this MeCandy is going to try and do it and make the first Google Glass porn. And I don't know if I think they were making porn apps as opposed to porn movies. Do you remember if that's right?
Yeah, I think what they were describing was an app that you would actually load up on Google Glass so that you could, consume the content, not necessarily create the content.
Oh, okay.
That was the impression I got. It sounded like they've already been working on creating content for their members or for their users with Google Glass, and this was just kind of the next step of being able to watch it on Google Glass as well.
So, what would you do? You'd be walking down the street and you go, "Okay, Glass, watch me some porn." Is that
Yeah, I think that'd be the subtle way to do
it?
it.
Do you have a special code word for it? It's like, "Okay, Google Glass, let's watch the family,"
Yeah,
or sign
yeah, yeah. I don't really know. Again, going back to something that I've said before, especially if you were watching a video, you'd be able to see that through the little glass piece there. It's something that was kind of made fun of on that Saturday Night Live skit a few weeks ago, where it kind of cut to these sounds that the guy tried to cover up. And ironically, that's not the part that you would have to cover up because the sound is fairly private. But everyone would be able to see that video, unless you'd modded your glass to kind of cover up the front of it. And I'm not really sure. It's not the best video display, so I'm not really sure if that's really the way people would want to do it.
That's true. That's true.
It's like, I suppose it is even a little more private than your cell phone. So there, it has that advantage to it, I guess.
So, for people that don't know, Fred Armisen was on the season finale of Saturday Night Live, and he was on late on the news section. And he had hit, they had a fake pair of Google Glass, kind of like this pair of Google Glass right here. And he was trying to show it off and go, okay, Glass, okay, okay. And he starts doing all these jerky motions and moving things around and of course grabbing onto the sensor and stuff like that. And it was I wasn't too you know it, it I understood the impact on that, but to me it wasn't that funny. It just But then again, that type of humor is not my favorite type of humor.
It is funny to see some people really try to jump into using glass, hardcore. Their first 5 minutes, it can be a little bit like that, where they're kind of, they're not really sure what's voice controlled and what's not, and so they're just kind of yelling at it to do things, and they're shaking their head because you tell them, oh, you can tilt it, and so they'll tilt it and they'll just keep tilting as if, that's going to do it. So it's like it does kind of recreate the first few minutes of using glass,
Oh,
but.
I remember Robert go, no, you do that, and I'm, I'm the guy that's usually going, no, you got to do this, you got to left click to right click, and I'm trying to do all this, and Robert's going, no, you do it this way. Okay, Glass. Okay, take picture. It's like, wow, this is too confusing. And I follow this stuff. I get into this stuff.
Yeah, but what I've also noticed is after just a few minutes of using it, people like slow down and they become a little more deliberate in it. And yeah, it clicks pretty quickly compared to a lot of different technologies where you end up, kind of struggling with it for a long time. A lot of people takes a while for them to really learn how to use a smartphone. even an iPhone, you know, they can kind of get lost in it. And they definitely don't understand, you know, what all it can do very quickly. I think glass, at least right now, is still simple enough. People are grasping it pretty quickly.
Would somebody with ADHD or anything like that have a hard time using Google Glass, or would they adapt to it a lot better?
I don't know. That's probably a good question. I haven't come across anybody that I know for sure is that. I mean, I'm kind of that way myself, but it is kind of interesting to have something right there in your view. I think it can hold your attention a lot better than people might think. So
yeah, that's true. That is true. So, well, if there's anybody out there that that has ADHD and does have a pair of Google Glass, you can feel free to email me, Jeff, at thisweekingGoogleGlass.com. I'll get it eventually. Jeff at thisweekingGoogleGlass.com, or you can Twitter me over Geekazine, and we'll have you on the show and see what your experience is like and go from there. Speaking of which, we're out of time here. We're grossly over. So I'd like to thank my co-host, Luke Wallace. Tell everybody where you can be gotten at.
You can get you some of me at Luke Luca or on Google Plus. Just search for Luke Wallace and look for the dorkiest guy there, and that'll probably be me.
Second dorkiest. I'm first.
No, but under my name.
Oh, so yeah, that's a good point.
You know, okay. That narrows it down, so then it's at least, you know, they can figure out which of the two dorks they're looking at. or you can always reach me at the email address for this podcast, which is luke@thisweekingGoogleGlass.com.
There you go. All right, well, thanks a lot, Luke, for coming on for another week. We'll see you. We'll be back on Monday with another episode of This Week in Google Glass. We've got some more new stories. More information, feel free to stop by. Feel free to say hi. Go over to thisweekingGoogleGlass.com to find out a little bit more. And, of course, contact us and go from there. My name is Jeffrey Powers, my co-host Luke Wallace to the right of me right now. And you guys have a great one. Geek out, and we'll see you next time on This Week in Google Glass.